Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Cho of Revival Today. Today's message is faith where you're at. First of all, I want to say to you, praise God. Give yourselves a hand for being in the house of God this morning. You made up your mind that you were going to get into the house of God. You know, I want you to know that we overcome by the word of our testimony, like I said before. But the message that God placed in my heart for you this morning is faithful where you're at. Someone say faithful where you're at.
Faithful where you're at.
I'm going to talk about understanding the gifts of the Spirit and understanding what God wants for you. Too many times we take our walk with Christ in vain. We do not take it serious, so we do it when we feel like it. And a lot of times we come to God and we say, Lord, I need you to fix something in my life. Or Lord, you know, there's a calling in my life, but why am I going through these things? God wants to show you that he is faithful. His word is real. It is faithful. And those that believe, you know what? Things are going to be changed in your life.
Amen.
But it's hard for God to do anything when we do not understand that it's necessary to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's a scripture that I have that I'm going to start off with in Hebrews 11:1. It says, and now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is a substance of things that you hope for. What are you hoping for? Is somebody suffering from sickness in their body? It's a substance of things hoped for. It's not something you see right now. And this morning we had so many testimonies talking about how good God is. And even the sister that was talking about where she was dealing with anxiety. I need you to know that faith in the word of God works this way, where he is about restoring. But God cannot restore when we don't have faith in our walk. Now, faith in your walk means that you go regardless of how you feel, and you do regardless of who's with you. Because the Bible says that every man must work out their own soul salvation. If you got to work out your own soul salvation, so what does it have to do with the next person next to you? Nothing. So it's important that we realize that God wants to do great, mighty works in our life. And now we're not seeing them works being manifest because the church has diluted the word of God. And when I say diluted, not only diluted, but we polluted the word of God. And the reason why we polluted the word of God is because we got men and women professing and saying that they are the children of God and they're walking in holiness, but their life does not reflect it. And how do you dilute something? Is when you put something in something that is pure. So if you have a pure cup of water, even if you put a drop of Kool-Aid in it, it has changed its chemistry. This is why the church has lost its power, because we don't realize that we're playing with God's business. And what I mean by playing with God's business, don't you know that the Bible says that you are the light of the world? So whatever is going to be revealed about God is going to be through you. Too many times we make up when we're going to do for God and when we're not. But how about when he fixed you? How about when you came before him and said, Lord, I need deliverance in my life. And he changed and turned it around. And now you stop doing your faithfulness. We're going to talk about that. There's a scripture here. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12:9-11, it says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmity. The Bible is saying, he is saying that he said, I am weak right now, but I have strength in my weakness. So I'm going to start from your weakness and bring you up to the faith. Too many times we judge our faith when we are standing in front of one another and we have everything going on right in our life. We're the first ones to say, oh, how good God is. But your faith and your strength and that what you confessing before man is not reflected in when you're on the mountain, but it's when you're in the valley. Somebody say in the valley.
Valley.
See, so in the scripture says, therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmity. What it's saying is that I boast when I'm going through. That's crazy to me. I'm going to talk to you how to get to the supernatural faith, to a faith that can change things in your life, even though it's not natural. We cannot get to that place spiritually until we understand that we are made perfect in our weakness. How many of you have been going through something and said, Lord, I'm weak right now. I don't have enough strength to do what I need to do. But the Bible says you're made perfect in your weakness. So God is saying to the body, why we keep on complaining about what's going on rather than boasting in who he is. See, somebody praise God with me. Go ahead, sis. See, so it says, therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmity. So that's why he said, I'd rather do it then. There's a choice. There's a choice for the church how to really walk in holiness. Now, take away my reverb on that four. Take away the reverb. That you have to revert. You have to rejoice even when you're down. Turn to somebody and say, let's rejoice.
Let's rejoice.
Even when we're down.
Even when we're down.
I'm going to show you how to get to a faith in Christ that will supersede what you ever believed before. Because I'm going to show you how the Bible, how the word really works. It says here, I'm going to go back to 10. It says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. And in reproaches, and reproaches mean that when somebody does charge you falsely, they come up and say things negative about you. I rejoice even in that. We can't do that. See, that's how you know how mature people are spiritually. Because when they're going through and when people talk negative against them, they still can do what God called them to do. I don't care if your wife, I don't care if it's your husband, I don't care if it's your granddaddy. What you have to do is still know that whose report do you believe? Do you believe in the report of God that he says you're an overcomer? Even though people say to you, you're crazy for believing in his word. I want you to know that God is taking us higher, but he can't take us higher until first we deal with our infirmities. And see their strength in it. Amen, amen. And reproach, it says, in persecution and distress for Christ's sake. Say that, for Christ's sake.
For Christ's sake.
A lot of time what we do is we get ourselves in a little mess. We do it and then we say, oh, I'm giving God the glory for this. God didn't tell you to marry that person. God didn't tell you to take that job. God didn't tell you to leave that congregation. God didn't tell you, you see what I'm talking about? I'm getting real. Sometimes we speak to our own self and we encourage ourselves to do things contrary to the word of God. If it's not in the word of God, it's no good. And what I need you to know is I'm going to show you how to see the real thing and recognize it. The real thing has a certain way of living. The real thing has a certain way of want to walk in integrity. Do you know what integrity means? Integrity is when you have something and it's a, you where you want to walk in perfection. When you want to walk in the will. For instance, if you say this is a black car, and you say it's a brand new car, and you told someone it's brand new, and you knew in your heart that that car is not new, you just repainted it. Integrity just went to the, you were deceiving. A lot of time we're deceiving one another because we're not being real for Christ. Okay, so it said I would boast in my infirmities when reproaches, when I'm persecuted and distressed. See, but it's for Christ. It says, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. So say that to yourself. When I'm weak, then I'm strong.
Then I'm strong.
See, so even when you're building a church and you're trying to establish people in the faith, guess what? I'm not looking for all those strong ones that look like they're strong. I'm looking for the ones when they're weak, they still got something going on. And what I mean by that is when you ever have a cold or you've been sick and you have a job you go to and you know you got to pay your bills, you got to do what you got to do. But you say, I'm sick, but I'm going to work anyway. I got to still pay my bills. See, when you're weak, you're still strong. You still get up and do what God requires. I'm going to talk to you this morning because I got a word for the body. Okay, so let's go to the next set of scriptures here. If you can turn with me to John 9, 1 and 8. This is talking about Jesus, and I want to show you how the great signs and wonders followed Christ. And I'm going to show you something in this, okay? So I want you to pay attention. It says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So they went to him and said, Rabbi, they were with Jesus. And they said, Jesus, who sinned? This child, this man was born this way. He was born. And a lot of time we even do that in the church. You know, people would look at you and say, you're not in Christ because you're sick. That's not the word of God. They'll say you're not saved because you hurt or because, no. So Jesus made it known. He said to this, they came to, the disciples said to him, and he asked them and said, Rabbi, what is going on? Is it the parents' fault or is it his fault? Sometimes it's nobody's fault. Now, there are times when it's your fault. Or when it's a parent's fault, if you had a child in you and you were drinking and that child's born with a sickness because you polluted yourself, because you defiled yourself and you didn't do it the word say, if you know not to smoke and you smoking while the child's, you see what I'm saying? That's when it's a parent's fault. Do you understand what I'm saying? The child didn't want to be born that way, but the choice of the parents. That's why I go into a lot of this in today's time. A lot of times we want things to go forward in the land, but no one wants to be righteous. We want to try to get people to live right by what we do with our laws, but we don't realize really if people start getting back into a sound house of God where they start dealing with their consciences, they will change. Give God some praise on that. Amen. So it said that, he says, then this is Jesus replied in 3. It says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Say, be displayed. In him. Sometimes God is using your situation to show off. Sometimes you're in a situation because God is going to be revealed in it. And a lot of times we are the first ones to say, God, I want you to use me. I want you to use me. Matter of fact, I want you to do great things through me. Don't realize that when you're at your lowest, that's when God is building you. He's building your spiritual character so that you can withstand any attack of the enemy. And that's where we got to go as a body. Do you truly want to stand or you want to continuously flop around? And what I mean by continuously flop around is you can tell when somebody's building strength because they start from the foundation. They don't try to go to the top and look down, but they start from where they're at. And that's what God is saying to the body. I'm trying to restore you where you're at, but you have to be faithful in the few things. And what I mean by faithful is, if God says, I'm going to do a great work in your household, you can't never get to church. If faithful means something, because you're telling God that you want him to show up in the middle of your needs. But you don't show up when he requires of you to do something so that you're building someone else. And the reason why I'm going here this morning is because I want to talk about becoming that disciple of Christ that knows how to walk in the integrity of the word. How many of you want to walk in the integrity of the word of the gospel? So we can't do this if we constantly play games and constantly don't line up with the word of God. So Jesus said, neither of them sin. It said all this happened because God might be displayed in him. So it says in the fourth verse, it says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus said, while I'm here, I'm the light of the world. What was he saying right there? He was saying that you must work while it's day, because when night comes, no man can work. A lot of people hear that scripture and they don't even know what it means. What it is saying is Jesus knew that his persecution was coming and he was going to be no longer here with us. So he said, I got to work while it's day, because when death comes, no man can work. While you have breath in your body, God wants you to do some work. You have to stop sitting at home and constantly allow the enemy to minister to you with a pity party and cause you to do nothing. Excuse me. We don't want to work anymore spiritually. The work that you have to do is work out your own soul salvation. And then get ready to see the mighty works of God that's going to be demonstrated in your life. That's what I'm talking about. That's the God I'm talking about. I'm talking about a God that will cause you to bless and speak into someone's life and change it as you speak. How many want to see God move that way? If you want to see God move in these kind of ways, then we must do the work while we're still here. It says, after saying this, he spit on the ground. Now, check this out. This is what God, Jesus did. He said, I'm going to heal you. Now, I like this passage because it shows you a little something here. So I'm going to reveal it to you. It says, after saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes, and he said, go, he told him, and he said, wash in the pool of Siloam. And then it says, so the man went and washed and came home seeing. Someone said, came home seeing. Now this is how the Bible, this is how the word of God works. Now first of all, if you came to church and I was praying over you and I spit on some mud and put it on your eyes and say, okay, now go to the Merrimack River. Y'all be looking at me with three eyes. Your Holy Ghost eyes. You be like, that one's kicking in right now. I'm not doing that. Sometimes we don't want to go to the man or woman of God because they're going to see something and they're going to tell you to do something that you don't feel like doing. Now, this was a test to see if this man truly wanted to be delivered. Jesus could have just touched his eyes and made him whole. Why did he have to go through all this? He had to do because that was demonstrating faith. Someone say demonstrating faith. Because a lot of time what we want to do is we want to get the touch. Boom, I'm healed. Ooh. Out. Some of us even practice how to fall out. Ooh, I'm going to go down like this. I'm going to catch myself. You know when the Holy Ghost knock you out, you don't go down pretty. You're like, ah! The Holy Ghost hits you, you just fall out. Some of us do the Holy Ghost fall, the different kind of fall. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Let me lay down right here now. Okay. But when the Holy Ghost come, he'll knock you off your feet. See, so in the demonstration here, it says that when the anointing came, Jesus came and told him, listen, I'm going to heal you, but check this out. Let me do this for a minute. And you know how we get in that prayer line? You in the prayer line, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He stops and he gets some mud. You stop. You stop shouting. You got, what's going on with Pastor? He's a little loony. And he began to spit. See, we look at scripture and we don't look at the reality to it. This is the real world, real life. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a saying. But Jesus really did this. He went down and spit on the mud and put it on the eye. And you know how sanctified and dignified we can get. Oh, excuse me. This is my good suit. How dare you know? First thing we would do was left church. Like he had a nerve. No, he didn't. Mom, why are you upset? Why are we eating on time today? Because the bastard spit in my eye. I'm not going to that church no more. He ain't Holy Ghost filled. Jesus is not right. That's why there's a study we had where it said Jesus has left the building. I want you to know that when he does what he's going to do, he does it his way. Turn to someone and say, he does it his way. Yeah. Now, this was just a test, church. Because now that man that was blind, he's desperate. He was always begging. Look at the scripture. Let's go on to the next part where it says his neighbors said this. It says his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging and asked, it says, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Now, that's why my real title was, is this the same man? So the neighbors, and this is a part about the light of the world, church. The neighbors noticed something. The neighbors noticed that this was somebody, he looks like the man we always seen. So in the next part of scripture says, some claimed that he was, others said, he only looks like him. So some were saying, I don't think that's him. You know, I'm not sure. And then another guy said, oh, I can solve it. He just looked like him. But then in the next verse, it says, but he himself insisted, I am the man. Turn to somebody and say, I am the man. See, I am the one that changed when I came into the house of God. I am the one that changed when God began to change my life. See, like the sister said, she said, I am the one. I need you to know that God is doing some change in your life, but you got to do the work. That means when he spit on the ground, put it on your eyes, he said, go now and get your healing. I tell you, listen, you need to stop being in the house of God. You need to start coming in prayer. You need to start coming to Bible study. We say, well, you know, I don't have time. I'm too tired. I can't. Golly, do you want to see God move in your life? Give God some praise. We are living a life of curse, not of blessings, because we will not be disciplined by the Spirit. Everybody wants to tell Pastor how to do what you do when you do. Oh, well, Pastor, you know, this is how I do it, though. Well, how's that work for you lately? You and I, we've been in the way too much. And God is saying, I'm trying to do great, mighty works and wonders in you and through you. And when it says you are the light of the world, you notice in this passage where the neighbors noticed. What we try to do is we want the neighbors to notice, I got a flag that says God. I got a little stamp on my car that says Jesus, he bless you. But they notice in your life. They're noticing these things. They're noticing how you behave under pressure. They know how you honor one another. They notice how you see that they see when God has healed you and you walked in the victory. They see when you're going through and you still get up and say, God is good. Just like this morning when you were praising God. That's why we come to church. That's why I love it when I see the young people in the church, because I want the people to see the real true moving of God. What I mean by that is God is good. Hey, man, you know, and God can keep your mind. You know, there's so many of us that study to be great and we do all these things to be great. And I remember my grandmother used to say all the time she would pray. She'd say, Lord, keep me in my right mind. I never knew what it meant. How many of you want to be kept in your right mind? Hallelujah. Give God some praise. And it says here, but he himself instead said, I am the man. And then in 10 it says, how then were your eyes open? They asked. And he replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. So he said, that man they called Jesus, he took mud and put it on my eyes. He told everything that he did. He wasn't ashamed to say that, you know, yeah, he spit. And spitting on someone back then is really, really bad. It's like even if you take your shoe off, when that man threw at George Bush, threw his shoe, boom. That was because, see, that was an insult. And what I need you to know is that when Jesus took a negative, something negative and made it positive. He said, I want you, and he said, I want you to go do something with this. A lot of time we want to get our healing and do nothing. Pastor can't tell you nothing. No, he don't know what he's doing. He knew enough to get you healed. He knew enough to pray. You see what I mean? Now I said, come on now. You need to be in Bible study. Come on. You need to be in church. Come on. You need to get faithful. Why do you need to get faithful? Because you need to be faithful in a few things. You see what I mean? So you need to be faithful in a few things. Sometimes I find this really, someone said to me, and it was interesting to me, a gentleman said to me, Pastor, I have these jobs, but I want you to let people know, but I want you to let me know when they're ready. That they're good to have this job. Are they going to be a good fit? Sometimes people be in church, you don't know. You don't know. Because some saints don't want to line up with nothing. And I need you all to know that God is just trying to better you. How many of you want to come out better in life? Give God some praise. Amen. We have that mic for the recording and the other one. What I'm going to do is go ahead and finish up. Take 9 and 8 all the way through for me. His neighbor, that part.
Praise God. His neighbor and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to speak? Sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him.
So he only looks like him. Go ahead.
But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know.
Now, I want you to see that he went through the whole thing. He followed through with what God had said, what Jesus had told him to do. And the thing is that I want you to know, like in the passage, he had declared his healing. And he said, I'm that man. He made it known that he's that man that was truly healed. I want you to know that you are that one that God is trying to heal. Now, in Mark, I want you to turn with me to Mark, the book of Mark, in the 16th chapter. We're about done. Are you enjoying yourself? Praise God. Amen. I hope you are. Amen. Amen. And I'm about done. I always like to preach at a level that everyone can understand. Can everyone understand? Amen. That's what church should be about. Sometimes we make it more about how sophisticated, how well we can break down things. I want everybody to know the gospel. It said, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils and they shall speak with tongues. Hey, you see, it says, and these signs and wonders shall follow them. And I want to get ready to end with this. A lot of times we want to operate in authority and the power of the word of God, and we don't want to change nothing in our life. We got foolish stuff going on in our life, and we want to put our hands all over people. The Bible is talking about the 7 sons of Sceva, where they seen that the disciples were doing these things in the name of Jesus, and they tried to test it out themselves till the spirits jumped up on them. You see what I'm saying? This is why the pastor is always concerned. I'm tired to tell you that I don't want everyone putting their hands on you. I don't want everyone coming up. And if I'm praying on someone, I don't want other people from the audience coming and praying. I need those ministers that are ordained and been qualified. What I mean by qualified, there's a lot of people in the world that say they're ordained. A lot of people come to you and say, I'm a pastor. I come from where I used to be this. I used to be that. I don't care. I don't know you. I don't know what life you're living. That means, you see, because the body needs to see men and women of God doing something so that they can imitate it. And this is where the church is messing up. We tell the church, these days we have a modern type of church, well, where everybody wants a great praise service. They want a concert every Sunday. Oh, yeah, look at the multitude of people. In that multitude of people, how many people do you know? Every time you show up, you don't know who you're sitting next to. So they can't turn around and say, I remember that man, he was a beggar. They don't know because they can't see you in the multitude. A lot of times we think that our spiritual value is on the greater work. But the spiritual value is with your neighbor. That person that sees you every day and sees your struggle every day and see you be a witness unto them so that they know who Jesus is. That's where your spiritual integrity shows up, when you operate in faith, even though your lights are off like theirs is. Even though you don't have food in your cabinet like they don't. Even though you got laid off like they did, you have a God that is with you that gives you joy and strength in your weakness. So even in your weakness, you can say God still is able.
Amen.
That individual also that wants to operate in the great, the mighty gift of a healing, guess what? They don't just show up and say, oh, God's using me to heal. No, they live a life of integrity. So when God shows up, they are worthy to be used by him. How many of you want to be worthy to be used by God? So if you want to be used by God, don't play games, because you're cursing your life and you're cursing your family. And in the end, he would say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So yeah, you're going to do a lot of works. But is it God that's in you? Or is it just the word of the Lord coming through? You get that? You know what I'm saying? Because the word is real. Give God some praise. I'm about done. I hope you're enjoying this morning. I don't know what you come to do. Yeah, praise is all done, but I came to learn something. I came to grow spiritually. I came to be your neighbor. I came to love on you. That's what I do. Amen. Give God some praise. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's what will happen. So then, after the Lord has spake unto them, he was received up unto heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now, what happened was, he said, listen, I'm getting ready to go. And he said, this is how you're going to tell those that are really called by me. They're going to be able to do these things. Now, the reason why the church is not healing anymore is because, see, when Jesus touched the man and he did all this stuff and put the mud on his eyes, now he said, now you go do the work. See, the Bible says that he gave everyone a measure of faith. So you got faith, you got faith, you got, it sounds like Oprah's show, you got a car, you got a car, you got a car. But everyone had a measure of faith. Now, it says that faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain. So that means that little bit of faith that you have is enough to get you through. Someone say, it's enough.
It's enough
to get me through. See, and that's what God is talking about with real faith. It's enough to get you through. It's enough, church. But if you want to operate in the fullness and receive the healing, receive the special mighty works and the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost, you have to do something once he speaks into your life. And so like that man did, he got up. He didn't feel insulted. He didn't say that Jesus drooled on him. He didn't say, you know, I'm not going back. I don't trust them disciples. They ain't no good. They just doing what they do. No, he said, okay, I'm going to go. Imagine that too. He had mud on his eyes, so he could barely see. He couldn't see anyway, so I guess. Now I'm putting this all together. And my natural man. So he didn't drive there. He probably had friends that took him. But, okay. So he had that mud on his eyes. He didn't get out of church and said, let me wipe my eyes and go to the sink. He didn't go to another. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what we would have done. We would have left church and said, Pastor, I'm spitting my eye, put mud in my eye. Let me go to the sink and get some water and get this off my eye. But instead, he operated the faith part. The faith without works is what?
Yeah.
I can't say you. It's what?
Yeah.
So when you get a healing, when the pastor lays hands on you and you don't have nothing to do, there's a problem. Everybody wants that instamatic. Sometimes it's a supernatural miracle, but guess what? Faith without your works is dead. So that's why when you say, oh, it's not real no more, you don't know how God moved in my life. It's working. He's working in me. I shared my testimony and people see me day to day and see me in the corporation and stuff and didn't know that I didn't know how to read throughout all the way through high school. Was born that way. They taught me, my parents, all my brothers and sisters were honor roll. I was the one that could hardly read. I'm the one that can't put sentences together. I used to cry, why can't I? So that when people see me now, when I was in a big concert and a teacher that knew me when I was a child was out in the audience and didn't know that I was going to be in town. And I had a big old concert, big band, all these people screaming and praising the Lord. And then he come to me and said, are you the one I used to teach? I need you to get rid of your story and now line up with God's will.
Hey, praise God. The message was faith where you're at. That's how God is. Please come visit us at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Our Sunday morning service starts at 10 a.m. Bible studies Wednesdays nights. Come check us out. Bless you. Hope to see you real soon.